This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. In this special episode, we're remembering David Johnson, who played for Ipswich Town between 1972 and 1976, who sadly passed away on Wednesday. Joining me is David Diamond, who I believe was fortunate enough to see Johnson play for Town, and is going to tell us all about him. Dave, how are you doing? And sad news.
It's always sad news. Yeah, I think the news broke fairly early this morning. I think it could have been a tweet from John Aldridge or even something like that.
That
it broke. And it's all very sad. I did read somewhere that had been ill for some time for the last couple of years. I believe he was battling throat cancer, I think. And very, very sad. And look, well-documented Kevin Beattie, my favourite player at that time. Yeah, up there with my favourite, with Kevin Beattie is my favourite player.
Wow.
When he, when he joined Ipswich, absolutely fantastic. And as usual, a story really there. So he, just to set the scene, he was really Sir Bobby Robson's first real marquee major signing for
no
Town.
No pressure there then, right?
No, it really was. So, you know, the first sort of 2 or 3 years of Bobby Robson's reign would certainly the year 68, 69. And apart, so 1970, 71, 71, 72, 70, 71, and to a degree, 69, 70, 70, 71, really fighting against relegation. Some signs in 71, 72 that a young side was starting to come together. Mick Mills was establishing himself, you know, as a very young captain. Trevor Wymark, towards the end of the season, started scoring goals. So you could see the signs. And then, of course, the next season, 72, 73, he had the debut, first game of the season, Man United away, we win 2-1, Kevin Beattie's debut. And at the time, we had a striker called Rod Belfitt, who had start the season by our standards at the time, on fire. So by the time October came around, he'd scored like 6 league goals and 3 also in the Texaco Cup, which ultimately, spoiler alert, later that season, we went on to win. A fairly minor trophy, but a trophy nonetheless, and we beat Norwich in the final over 2 legs. So, yeah, we shouldn't knock it. And like I said, at that time, so Belfitt was our leading goal scorer. And you read in Sir Bobby's book, his first book, Time on the Grass, that we'd actually played at Everton on the Saturday. Drawn 2-2, Belfitt had scored. After the game, Harry Kattrick, the Everton manager at the time, had cornered Sir Bobby and said, I'm really interested, you know, would you let us have the big man? And Bobby Robson almost thought, big man, we can't let you have Alan Hunter. You know, our defence would be, you know, be nothing left. You know, we can't let you have him. And who was just, you know, starting to forge that central defensive partnership with Kevin Beattie. And he said, no, the guy up front, Rod Belfitt. And he said, I remember I'm reading the book, Robson said, my heart leapt. He said, wow, here's a deal. He said, okay, you can have Belfitt. And he just threw it in there. He said, if I can have Johnson. And he, instead of dismissing it straight away, he said, yeah, that might be on. I'll get back to you. And sure enough, literally days later, he joined in a swap deal with Rod Belfitt going the other way. Plus, I think, 40,000 pounds going Everton's way. So it's a quite a big business for us at the time. And I know, again, so Bobby said it took, he was 21 years old, David Johnson, Scouser, albeit an out and out, as it transpires, Liverpool fan, obviously playing for Everton. And he said it was a hell of a job to get him to leave the, big city, you know, Merseyside boy, Scouser, to come to sort of sleepy Suffolk and sign for Ipswich. But he did really, Rich, and the rest is history, really. He that season, he hit the ground running, formed a brilliant partnership with Trevor Wymark up front. So much so, pretty much either later that season or certainly early the next, they both were picked to play as a pair for England under 23s. He was just hit the ground running, pacey, aggressive. We'll get on to Paul Mariner, who effectively replaced him, but not a sort of Mariner type, particularly strong in the air, but very quick, very, very, very pacey, quite aggressive as well. And just an absolute signing that you know, brought that, you know, of that first Robson great side, which I suppose you'd say was the UEFA Cup, you know, the initial forays into the UEFA Cup the next season, was a key part of that side.
I was going to say, he's part of this formative Robson team that is starting to establish with, you know, we always have these kind of Harry from Bath covalent bonds in our minds, but this partnership you mentioned with Wymark seems to be really pivotal for a team that essentially goes from fighting relegation to FA Cup semi-finals against West Ham, starts to get into Europe as well, is knocked out by the eventual winners, I think 74-75, I might be wrong, 75, yeah, I think so. And it sets the pathway for this team that we know and love from 78 through to 81. And obviously he's not part of that, but it's a real vital building block to get there, isn't it?
And so Bobby would say, you know, Bobby Robson would say he had three great teams at Ipswich, and David Johnson was part of the first. The second one you would say would be the team that then, you know, with Paul Mariner, Johnny Walk, that, you know, that won the FA Cup. And then obviously the third team is the UEFA Cup side. But what a plan. You've got to think of the young players. So he just fitted in. Obviously, for Ipswich, very unusual on that day. He was a buy. He didn't come through our youth system as it was then. But, you know, you're talking the next season, people like George Burley coming through, Brian Talbot coming through. I mean, just an incredible conveyor belt of young talent. And he was absolutely superb player. Like I said, we won the Texaco Cup, finished fourth that season, which was just incredible, really. And qualified for Europe, and the much documented obviously we played Real Madrid, knocked them out in the first round of the UEFA Cup the next season, in a second round drawn at home against Lazio. And all I can say is we won 4-0 at home and his strike partner, Trevor Wymark, scored four. I was at that game and can vaguely remember him getting literally assaulted by a Lazio defender to his, how can I put it, a laceration to his private parts, let's say.
Come up on Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, so much so that, again, out of the Bobby Robson book and also the John Cobbold book, just how it was in those days, apparently he'd had a sort of few stitches down below, as it were. Walked past the boardroom when a board meeting was in progress. One of the directors clocked him, the door was half ajar. So, "Hello, David, you know, how's the injury?" And he said, "I'll show you." And apparently, legend has it, prepared to, unzip in front of the board meeting, you know. So, yeah, that's how it was at Ipswich at the time. And then the next season, 74-75, again challenging for the league title. Again, you know, you mentioned the West Ham FA Cup semi-final, a key part in all of that. And then, you know, on the back of that, made his full England debut, 74-75, latterly that season, whilst at Ipswich. I think he played three times. He scored three goals for England. Scored
eight caps, six goals in total for England. So not too many appearances, but certainly, yeah, prolific.
And spaced out. So from between 75 and 1980, really spaced out. He scored two in his debut against Wales in the old home international championships, as it were. And also scored that people might not remember, he scored in that 5-1 game against Scotland, which is, we all know, is renowned for that unbelievable Kevin Beattie run and header at the back post. He also was a scorer, you know, was a scorer in that game. And I think actually the game against Wales, which he played, would have also been Colin Viljohn's debut as well. So we may well have had three players. I mean, that's just how Ipswich were developing as a team in that era. Just incredible. And then the next season, not the Lazio injury. I think injury, so we had in and out of pretty much, I think, the next season, 75, 76. So much so, big Liverpool fan. I think Spurs, I seem to remember, put a bid in for him in the 75, 76. No such thing as a transfer window in those days. But he didn't want to go to Tottenham, and fair play to him. He held on, and Liverpool came in the close season of 1976, in the summer of 76. And he went up to sign for Liverpool for 200,000, which I'm sure was certainly our record fee received at the time. And Bobby Robson, in his ultimate wisdom, 3 or 4 months later, bought Paul Mariner.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could see how the side was evolving. But, you know, he goes to, I mean, just, we'll get to what he won at Liverpool. It's just ridiculous. So if you're thinking he's there, he joins Liverpool in 76. So that's what, 2 years into the Bob Paisley era, following the resignation of the shock resignation in what, 74 of Bill Shankly, the Bob Paisley era. And so he's, at first, he's not breaking into the team at first. He's competing with Keegan and Toshack, another great, superb double act. But then he's sort of 77, 78, 78, 79, he establishes himself in the team. And then really he's just playing up there with Kenny Dalglish, for goodness sake. And then, of course, who comes on the scene but Ian Rush, and that really, I guess, spelt the end of his time at Liverpool. But absolutely fantastic player. It's worth dwelling on just at Liverpool. It's absolutely insane what he won at Liverpool. So just 4 league titles, 2 league cups, 1 FA Cup, 3 European Cups. I mean, not saying he played in all these games, but certainly part of the squad and picked up medals, 4 charity shields, 1 Super Cup. I mean, this is the thing I didn't fully appreciate. PFA Team of the Year in 79-80, which I didn't appreciate that. And obviously, an inductee into the ITFC Hall of Fame in 2016. So, also holds a real honour of being one of only 2 players, I think, along with Peter Beardsley later on, to have scored for both Everton and Liverpool in a Merseyside derby. So, yeah, and you just saw the... the outpouring of sort of love and affection for him from both sets of fans, but particularly Liverpool fans, today, very well loved and respected. And I know after he finished playing, after his playing career was over, he left Liverpool in 82 when really Rush and Dalglish were the front two then, and went back to Everton and had a spell there between 82 and 84, 40 games, 4 goals, had a spell at Man City, the great Tulsa Roughnecks.
I was going to say,
States.
He made the trip over to the States like a few did in that era.
Yeah, they did. Preston and a brief spell as manager of Barrow. Subsequent to that, I think, very much involved on the corporate hospitality scene at Liverpool, and also certainly local radio commentary and summarising it at Anfield as well. So very, very well loved and very respected player.
Worth noting the goal record as well. At Liverpool, it's slightly more than one goal every 3 matches, and it's slightly lesser at Ipswich, but nevertheless the goals were there. And I've been looking for footage, me and my archive footage, Dave, and for some reason this kind of his goals are sort of evading me a little bit. But what I have found are a lot of assists, and it's clear to me that he was kind of an all-round forward. There's a lot you mentioned industry, but he created a lot of goals and scored a few as well, didn't he?
Really, really special all-round player. There is one goal, alas, not Ipswich, so there's one goal which I'm sure you'll find. Talk about an assist, and it's one of the greatest goals. And I'm not, I don't think I'm going overboard of this, and you've probably seen this goal. Liverpool played Spurs, I want to say in 79, early in the 79 season, and beat them 7-0 at Anfield. There's a header in that game scored by Terry McDermott, where the ball is played out to Johnson, who is wide right, probably just inside Liverpool half, and he plays a volley diagonal 40-yard pass to Steve Highway, the Liverpool winger, who basically doesn't break stride. He then hits a first-time left foot cross, drills it across the box, and Terry McDermott hits it on the full and buries it. It's one of the great iconic goals, probably one of the great iconic Liverpool goals of all time. But there were similar goals. There were similar goals he scored. He scored for Ipswich. And like I said, that partnership with him and Weimar, Johnson, a bit smaller in stature, quite slight, pacey and quick, and Weimark is absolutely brilliant in the air with a great touch as well.
So they complemented
each other so well, and probably as a partnership, arguably, you know, the Mariner Weimark partnership was good, but they were quite similar in style. I always thought the Weimark Johnson partnership was special because it literally was the classic big man, small man. I spoke about Toshack and Keegan, and it was quite similar to that. So, yeah, a very, very good player.
And the kind of iconic 70s look as well. The sideburns and the tash, you know, he's kind of like if you were to be asked someone to draw what a 70s footballer looked like, you'd draw David Johnson, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and he's sort of kept a bit of connection. I'm not sure, you know, a bit of connection with the town. And Jonty, it still carries his nickname at Ipswich was Jonty. Back in the 70s, it was called a men's boutique then, you know, back in what it was back in the 70s, along Tackett Street. Still there today, I think. Long, you know, I think his ownership is, he's not associated with it anymore, but still bears his name to this day. And yeah, it's you can still go there and buy some fairly expensive clothes along Tackett Street, still there today, which is great, isn't it? You know, there is still that link, you know, with the town to a degree.
God, I love those, like Mick McNeil Sports and all that kind of stuff. I miss those days.
Just down the road from there, mate. Just down the road. Yeah, those old Clayton, it might be before your time, Clayton Sports in North. Oh, I used to love that in Northgate Street and stuff. Absolutely superb. Yeah, you always made a beeline for Mick McNeil's. But yeah, I mean, his goal output at Liverpool, absolutely brilliant. You say his England output, you know, eight games, six goals, superb. Actually went to the Euros in 1980, but ironically, was really third choice striker behind of Gary Birtles, who was at Forest, and obviously ironically Paul Mariner.
I was going to say that that Mariner deal felt like one of those situations where it's kind of win-win-win, isn't it? Because, you know, the money was obviously good for the club, and we've always been, even when we're in the top tiers, we've always been a selling club. But, you know, he's David Johnson's gone to his boyhood club, Liverpool boy, as you say.
Win-win.
Gone on to score loads of goals, and Mariner comes in and we don't look back either. So one of those rare instances where all parties kind of, it works out, doesn't it? So we asked for some thoughts from folks on Twitter as well. I'll read some of these out.
Yeah, please.
Dave Reed, met him once when I was at Liverpool v Fulham match with a mate. He was comparing in hospitality, and I spoke to him, expecting just a brief acknowledgement of me being an Ipswich fan. 25 minutes later, we're still talking ITFC, much to the annoyance of others waiting. Top man. Lee Bayliss, great player for us, then left for Liverpool and became a great player, European Cup winner there. Very sad. May he rest in peace. Yeah. Paolo Walnut, I remember him, and Trevor Weimark at Town when I was 7 or 8 years old before Mariner came in. Quite some pair they were too. If Weimark were about nowadays, he'd be worth millions. We'll finish on. I do like when you did your player profiles with Ben. We kind of do have that conversation and who we'd be comparing to today. So we'll end with that one. Jules has got involved as well. Always gave 100%. Great, honest player. I remember in the UEFA Cup game playing for us, I think it's Roma. His crown jewel was kicked into his stomach. There we go. RIP. Paul mentions similar. He mentions Lazio, I think. Cobbold's asked to see the damage. There you go. Request tonight. Finally, Stephen Foster, Foz, announced for Pullman Road. Saw most of his appearance at Pullman Road. He was a real pain in the backside for visiting defences. He wasn't the biggest striker you'll ever see, but he was one of the best of his generation. A key figure in making Town a European force to be reckoned with. So really great memories there. And definitely will be missed, and a loyal servant to the club. As we said, a formative time before, you know, all of that major success under Bobby Robson, late 70s, early 80s. Just to finish off with Dave, as we mentioned, let's try and give some a sense of context for our subscribers, listeners, who aren't of the right vintage. And I would include myself in that. I've obviously watched as much footage as I can get my hand on. But yeah, we're kind of talking a bustling, pacey, slight
bustling pacey forward didn't play through the middle, so played very much off the big man, played very much off Weimark, I would say, you know, not a Mariner type who would lead the line on his own, but, you know, express pace, really, really quick. And like Foz said, you know, just an absolute pain in the backside for, you know, for defenders, that, you know, really annoying type, you know, or, you know, on the shoulder, but had that explosive bit of pace to just get away from that, from the defender as well. Oh, who would I describe him to?
Is it easier to think of him in terms of transfer fees first? And then, because I'm racking my brains as well, because I'm trying to think current England squad, right? So you've got Kane out there kind of on his own as the number nine.
Okay, here you go. Rashford is not bad.
Yeah.
Rashford.
I was thinking Sterling maybe as well, but Sterling's maybe more of a forwarder than a winger.
Yeah, I think so. Do you know what? Rashford is a pretty good... That's a pretty good shout, I would say. Yeah, and, you know, just seeing the goal Rashford scored on them, seeing the goal Rashford scored on Monday, yeah, he was sort of capable of that. Poacher in the box, yeah, maybe. I saw him score. All sorts of goals, really. Saw goals from outside the box as well. The one I've spoken about that I saw in the big match revisited the other week was a great strike against Middlesbrough. That was from sort of outside the box, really. But yeah, someone like Rashford, someone like that, as town players through the years. Yeah, difficult.
I was kind of thinking at Liverpool, Firmino, maybe. Is that a fair comparison? I don't know. I'm trying to think of an outside,
maybe,
forward.
Yeah, maybe. I'd say Firmino's perhaps a little bit more. Yeah, perhaps a little bit
more
technical.
Direct?
Is that the right word? Yeah. So a difficult one to pigeonhole him, really. But, you know, you can imagine someone like that with that pace and stuff going to Liverpool in that era and establishing himself, you know, alongside Rush, playing in front of Souness, you know, playing in front of Souness, alongside Dalglish, playing in front of Souness, McDermott, you know, players like that, and, you know, just getting balls threaded through from Lawrence and Hansen. Oh, for goodness sake. I mean, just what a time, you know, for a forward to play in a team like that. You know, incredible success. But no, you know, another real sad you know, another really sad day, you know, 71, a relatively young age, been given the whole scheme of things, really. And No, very sad. And, you know, I think, and as I alluded to before, certainly, you know, you just hear, see what's the tweets and that today, very much loved by both sets, by both Ipswich and, well, obviously Ipswich, Everton, wherever he's been, Ipswich, Everton, and Liverpool as well, Liverpool fans as well. I see, funny enough, they flagged it up. I'm not sure, could have been on Sky today when they're sort of previewing England training and stuff like that. I think it was Sky. And they did a little tribute on Sky, which was, you know, obviously ex-England striker, which was nice.
Yeah, it was mentioned on ITV's coverage, I think, of one of the...
Could have been ITV, well, sorry, so, yeah. Yeah.
No, yeah. I think everyone has been doing that today.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and so, yeah, brilliant memories, Dave. Thank you so much for sharing your recollections there.
Well,
some,
you know,
stories about stuff that maybe we don't want to hear about, and some memories that the boardroom might have never seen, but then probably never seen since, hopefully.
Can't quite imagine that today, but yeah, you know, you never know. We all know how the eccentricities with you know, in the Cobbold era and stuff. But, you know, I don't need any excuse to wax lyrical about those times, as you know. So yeah, it's just that more and more these days you're getting to talk about, unfortunately, players that are passing, unfortunately,
in a sad context. Yeah,
yeah.
So we are here remembering David Johnson, who passed away on the 23rd of November, age 71, former Ipswich Town, Liverpool and England striker. Dave Diamond, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Rich.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.